Amen. And so for the past 2 weeks, we've been doing, we had a Christmas service in between, but between those, we had two messages on fasting. And I know, it's a lot. And now we're on our third message on fasting. And I'm just going to do a quick summary of the two messages, just to encompass like the main things, because I know some of you, maybe you didn't get a chance, maybe it's your first time here, or you just didn't get a chance to listen to the messages. And so I'm just going to give a short summary about SP and fasting. And so SP, we've been fasting every year at the beginning of the year now for 16 years. I know, since the beginning. And why do we do that? We want to do that is because we want to start, it's kind of like a tithe, right? You give your first fruits, first 10%. And so we do that, we want to give our first part of the year, and in this case, we usually do it for 21 days, but we want to offer the first part of the year to God, right? And just offer it to it, and that way we start off well. And so that's why we fast for 21 days. And the tagline for our fasting is to give up the legitimate pleasures of the world for the extreme pleasure of knowing God. So the whole point is you sacrifice, but the whole point is the extreme pleasure of knowing God. It's about Jesus. Why do we fast? It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing, right? It's a spiritual thing. We want to grow spiritually, and in order for that to happen, we need to experience Jesus. We need to get close with Jesus. We want to get so connected to the Holy Spirit. And given that, we stress that fasting without prayer is dieting. Again, it's not a physical thing. So in order to really make it a legit, meaningful fast, you have to pray. But even though we stress that, it's so easy not to, right? It's so easy to do other things, fill your time and free time with other things. But you need to pray. And one of the things that has become very apparent now is, well, before when we fasted about 10 years ago, it was just like, oh, is this safe, right? Are you going to die? Like, can I not eat for 21 days? And the answer is yes. And now it takes less convincing because there's all this research done by leading universities. There's a BBC documentary that's done. And maybe you've heard this term. It's the new thing. You know, before there was keto diet, which is zero carbs, I think. That's keto. But the new thing now is called intermittent fasting. That's all the rage. Everyone's doing it. All my friends, you know, I go back home, they're looking good. They've lost like 20 pounds, and they're like, yeah, I'm doing intermittent fasting. But none of them are Christians. It's just become a popular form of diet. But this is not fasting because there's no praying involved. They're just dieting. So we have to make sure that when you pray, or when you fast, you need to pray. And what is the fast about? It's about Jesus. That's really what it's all about. And so, if you want to hear more, I mean, this is like 5 minutes, right? But there's two sermons, part one and part two. And you should listen to it if you still feel like you need to be convinced of whether to join us on this fast. And so I'm not going to try to convince you to fast anymore. By now, I'm presuming after two messages, you're like, I'm going to do the fast. So to start, I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't fast, okay? Just to mix it up. So here's why you shouldn't fast. Well, the first reason is, it's actually pretty simple. You don't want to, right? I know, profound. You don't want to. And there could be different reasons why you don't want to, right? Maybe you're just fine with the way things are. Things aren't great, but they're not bad. In fact, they could even be bad, but you just don't feel like doing it, right? You're fine with status quo. Maybe the other reason is you just don't like being told, right? I don't want to be told to fast just because everyone else is fasting. I don't want to fast, right? If I'm going to fast, I'm going to fast on my own terms. And that's great, but make sure you actually do fast, just not like eventually. Another reason is maybe you're just like, it's too hard. It's too hard. I don't know if I can do it. And you know what? Just to make the point that you shouldn't fast if you don't feel like it. The Bible is clear. You should not fast if you're doing it with the wrong heart, right? In Matthew 6, verse 16 to 18, Jesus addresses those people who are doing it with the wrong heart, the hypocrites who are doing it to show off. And he says, "Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." What does that mean? It says, basically what Jesus is saying is, if you fast for the wrong reasons, if you're fasting, I don't know, to look good, if you're doing it to lose some weight, you're doing it to get credit from other people, your reward is that, right? So basically, you do it to lose weight, all that's going to happen is you're going to lose weight. You do it to get the credit for other people, that's all you're going to do. So don't do it with the wrong heart, okay? Don't fast with the wrong heart. The second thing is, maybe you feel like you don't need to, right? The first one is you don't want to. Maybe the second reason is you don't need to. And maybe it's because you feel so self-sufficient. You're so capable. Your work life, you got it, right? I can take care of business. Your personal life, you know, your family, your friends, your spouse, your kids, you got it under control. Even ministry, you're like, I think I can handle it, right? I can handle it. And maybe you can. Maybe you're doing a fantastic job. But I think when you're that self-sufficient, it's also incredibly stressful, right? Because you got to bear all this stuff on yourself. And it's a recipe for being burnt out. But the other reason you feel like you don't need to is because you already feel like you're so tight with God. You're doing your quiet time. You're praying. You're reading your Bible. You're soaking in His presence. You're being filled by the Holy Spirit. Why do I still need to fast when I'm already, you know, doing so well? Well, let's look to Jesus. Jesus fasted. He fasted for 40 days. And this is what happened right before He fasted. In Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17, it says, "After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on Him. And behold, a voice of the heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Following that, He fasted. And so Jesus, He just experienced, to me, is one of the pinnacle moments of His life. He just got baptized, the heavens open, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes down, resides in Jesus, then the voice of the Father comes and affirms Him and says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." It's such a beautiful, intimate moment. It's something that I crave, right? And even then, with that intimacy, amazing moment, the following thing He did was He fasted. Okay? So just to summarize, here's how I would summarize whether you should fast or not. Don't fast if you have the wrong heart. But everyone should fast. So when you do fast, fast with the right heart. So it's kind of, I know, I kind of tricked you guys a little. But so if you have the wrong heart or attitude, then you definitely shouldn't fast. But fix that, right? Get the right attitude. We should all be fasting, okay? And so today, for the third message, we're going to be looking to Jesus, right? I thought, who better to look to? And we're going to look at how He fasted, okay? And so if you would turn with me to Matthew 4, and we're going to go from verse 1 to 11. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand, and the ushers will hand that out to you. Otherwise, you can just turn to look at the screen, okay? All right, so Matthew 4. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." This is right after that baptism moment. "And after He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to Him, 'If You are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister him. Amen. All right. So looking at this text, why did Jesus fast? He just had an amazing, intimate moment. He's feeling so good about himself. Why was it necessary for him to still fast? Okay. So why did Jesus fast? It was to power up. Okay. I know it sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's in the scripture. Luke 4:14, it says, "And Jesus, after leaving the wilderness, returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit." And so the result of his fasting was he powered up, power of the Holy Spirit, not, you know, power of the Holy Spirit. And basically, that time of fasting and being in the wilderness was a time to prepare him for what was to come, preparing for what to come. And you look at, you know, I look at movies like Rocky or any martial arts film. Before they embark on the big battle, what happens? They train, right? They're doing all this training, getting themselves ready for the next step. And when they get there, they're ready. Same thing for many of us, especially when you go for job interviews. What do you do beforehand? Do you party it up? You just go in and you're like, "Yeah, I'm going to be awesome." Maybe. But for most of us, the night before the interview, we're preparing, right? We're preparing for how we will answer things. We're preparing our mindset. Probably have a kind of nice, we're probably praying, just so taking away all the nerves and fear so we can perform at the interview at the optimal level, right? So it's a time of preparing. And so what are you preparing for? As we are about to start 2020, that sounds crazy, 2020, what are you preparing for? What is on the horizon? Are you in need of a breakthrough? Are you facing any challenges? Are you in need of a miracle? Are there things in your life that you need God to be a part of? Or are you so self-sufficient, unnecessary, right? And so let's see. How did Jesus power up? How did Jesus power up? How did he go about his fast? So that's what we're going to really look at today. In John 3:30, it says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Right? And that is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus powered up himself. How did he do it? He did it by powering down himself. Let me explain. In Matthew 4:1-2, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry." So how did Jesus power down? Two things happened. The first thing he did was he abstained from food. He abstained from food. And as a result of him abstaining from food, his body became weak and it became hungry. So his body powered down. That's very common for most of us when we fast, right? When we've experienced this. When you don't eat, that's what happens. You become weak and you become hungry, your physical body. But the second thing Jesus did was he was led to the wilderness, right? He was led to the wilderness. What does that mean? He left all the worldly things that gave him satisfaction, that were a distraction. He left all those things behind. And as a result of that, his soul became very dissatisfied. Two things happened. His body became weak and hungry, and his soul became dissatisfied. And that's what going to the wilderness is like. If you don't know what the wilderness is like, the wilderness is essentially the desert. And so recently we had a SP trip to Israel. I was there, and we were in the desert, and it is uncomfortable, right? It is, the sun is blazing hot. And I remember one day, actually, my sunglasses broke, so I had no sunglasses. And every time I was out there, I was like squinting. It was so uncomfortable. And then it's hot, it's dry, right? And I'm out there like at these historical sites for like 15 minutes. And it's once in a lifetime opportunity. But in those 15 minutes, quite honestly, I'm like, I just want to sit down and find shade or go back in somewhere and get air conditioned. Even in those 15 minutes of being outside, my soul was so dissatisfied. And obviously, there's like running water in like these air-conditioned places. But even those 15 minutes. And for many, I think a Korean tradition, they have something called Prayer Mountain. I don't know if there's a Prayer Mountain for other countries or cultures. But in Korea, they have something called Prayer Mountain. And a few years ago, we had a SP staff retreat, and we went to Korea, and we did morning prayer every day. And for one of the excursions, we went to a prayer mountain. I didn't know what to expect. I think in my head I expected this really holy time, right? It's like this whole prayer mountain. And so basically we drove out there to a mountain. It's like very remote, and you're up on the mountain, and when I get there, all I see, it's really kind of weird, actually. It's almost like the mountain is lined with these, how do you say, dog kennels, right? I know it sounds weird. Imagine a dog kennel. You know how big a dog kennel is? Like about that, like a dog house. It's about that big. And it's just lined one after another. They're all connected to each other with little walls. And there's like a little door like this. And in that door, there's like a little window like this big. And when you're inside, you can like lock the door. And what's the point of these little kennels? It's actually for you or for us. It's for you to go in there to pray. It's so low that you can't even stand up. You have to kneel. And it's so small, the area of these prayer mountain. I don't even know. I keep calling them dog kennels, but there must be a proper name. It's so small, you cannot even lie down. Literally, all you can do is pray. That's all you can do. You're too uncomfortable to sleep. There's nothing to do, right? All you can hear are other people. I think there's even like two layers, right? So it's basically this surround sound of people on top of you, people to the side of you, everyone's praying. And as a result of this retreat and going into the wilderness, all you can do is pray, which is kind of the point, right? And so if we're the really fast like Jesus, I mean, we need to abstain from food. But the other thing that's required is actually for us to go into the wilderness. And for most of us, I think, that's probably not realistic to just go away somewhere for 21 days or 40 days or 36 days. And so if we can't do that, how do we still experience the same result, right? How do we experience the same result so that our soul would be so dissatisfied? And so you need to ask yourself, what satisfies your soul? I mean, food is up there too, right, which is a given. But what else in your life of the world really satisfies your soul? And I know for the past 2 weeks, or fasting messages, one of the things that we've really pushed is doing a media fast, right? I love media. When I go home, if I didn't have kids and if I didn't have a wife, I would just probably go home and watch TV until I sleep. Now I don't even own a TV. Yeah. And so for many of us, that's what we do. You know, after a long day of work, right? All these responsibilities, all these pressures, the last thing we want to do is think, right? And so what do? We turn on the video, the Netflix, and we just veg out. And then right before we sleep, maybe you go on Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, messaging. I'm not really into social media, so I'm just doing presumptions. But I know people, it's a big thing, right? And even for me, messaging is not, I'm actually terrible with messaging as well. But for some of us, if you're so into social media, you're so into messaging all the time, maybe you need to fast those things. And you're like, what? I'm not going to message anyone for 21 days? You will live, right? It's not going to cause, I don't think I have to share a BBC commentary for why not being messaging is healthy, right? But you don't need to do it. You can give up those things. One other thing for me, maybe I think for most of you, what I love is to sleep in, right? That is something I feel like I can't live without. And so, yeah, I propose to you, in addition, I know PCM added media fast. I want to say add on sleep in fast. And what that means is you're not going to sleep in. And from Monday to Saturday, throughout the fast for the 21 days, we start on January 2nd, we have something called EMP, early morning prayer. And instead of sleeping in, and I know for some of you, it might be a detour, it might be an inconvenience to come to morning prayer before you go to work, but isn't the whole point to sacrifice, to inconvenience yourself, right, so that your soul will be so dissatisfied? And so when you come and as you pray, that you would be satisfied by God, right? That's the whole point, okay? And so I know for many of us, deciding what to fast is a big deal, right? Even right now, you're like, oh, what should I fast? Am I going to do this? It's stressful. But let me tell you, it's really important. But the most important of the fast is the fast, right? Where it's going to get really hard during the fast is while you're fasting, when you get hungry, when you get dissatisfied, and temptation comes into our life. That's when things get really hard. But fortunately, we have Jesus to look to. Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." And so we have Jesus to look to. He's been tempted, and now we can look to him to understand and look for ways to overcome this. And so, as I shared earlier, you know, Jesus weakened himself. He powered down by weakening his body and his soul. And just so you know, we are made up of three things as human beings, okay? We're made in the image of God. We're made of body, soul, and spirit. And so body is the physical, right? It's arms, legs, you know, internal organs. It's the flesh. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. You could say that's what gives us our uniqueness. It's what gives us our personality. But the third thing we are made up of is our spirit. And so our spirit, we're spiritual beings, and God is also spiritual, and it is our spirit that allows us to have relationship and connect with God, okay? And just as we are made of body, soul, and spirit, those three things, Jesus is tempted, and so will we be tempted during this fast by those three things as well. And so if we look to the first temptation that Jesus experiences, and probably what you will experience, it is a temptation of the body. Okay, temptation of the body. In Matthew 4:3, it says, "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.'" Right away, Jesus is attacking Jesus and his identity as a son. Okay, and it says, "Command these stones to become bread." And in Matthew 4:4, Jesus responds, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" And maybe you're not tempted to turn rock into bread, but you'll probably be tempted to open up your fridge. Keep in mind, there was no fridge, there was no convenience store, there were no restaurants that Jesus could go to in the desert. All there were was literally rocks. And so that was his temptation. But the root of the temptation is you want to eat, right? And PCM mentioned that, you know, in his part two message, he kind of shared about the physical things that you will experience. And one of the things he shared, especially that first week, and especially difficult the first three days, are hunger pangs, right? And for me, it's a real thing. Hunger pangs are very difficult. What does it feel like? It feels like your stomach is so empty, but yet it's so hungry that it feels like your stomach is eating your own stomach, right? That's what it feels like. It's really difficult. And, you know, PCM also shared, hey, like, don't be legalistic about things, right? Don't be legalistic. Don't get crazy with the rules. But at the same time, don't compromise, right? It's a fine line. What's the difference, okay? What is legalism? Legalism is when you're all about the rules and what you need to do and don't do, but has nothing to do with God, right? That's legalism. But if it's about God and you've made a commitment to do this, don't compromise, right? Go for it all the way. And this is my fasting story every year. I apologize if this is your third time hearing it, but it's my story, it's my testimony, so I'll keep sharing it. And this is my first fast that I did. And my first fast I did a liquid fast, so I was drinking liquids and having even like thicker liquids. And one of the things I had daily, right, was this drink called the Nutty Professor. And the Nutty Professor, it's from this, restaurant or takeout place. It's called Mix at the time. And what is the Nutty Professor? It's peanut butter, banana, yogurt, honey, and ice, and it's all blended up. It doesn't sound that appealing, I know. You're like, oh, it's okay. But when you're fasting, that was, to me, like the holy grail of drinks at the time. And so I was fasting, and I remember there was this one night, it was late, it was like 11, I had washed up, I was in my pajamas, and so I was all comfortable, I was clean, and this hunger pang came, and I was in fetal position, and it was so painful, and I was so hungry, and I was just like, I felt like I was having like, what was it, like cold sweats. I was just not in a good place, and as a result, I think like 10 or 11 p.m., I traversed from Kane Road all the way to Hollywood Road. I know it's not that far, but still, when you're all comfy, but I went out to have a Nutty Professor. And I remember ordering that Nutty Professor, just standing there watching them make the Nutty Professor in anticipation, and they finally hand it to me, and I remember like taking the straw, I'm like fumbling, trying to get the paper out of the straw, and finally I put it in, and I'm like, and I remember it was like it was euphoria. I was just like drinking the, oh, like all the hunger pangs, the sweats, like everything went away, and I was just so satisfied. It was the best. But shortly after, just I think a few seconds, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, aren't I the one who's supposed to satisfy you? And I was like, oh yeah. Like, my bad. And I felt really bad, like, geez, like, I'm supposed to, like, be hungry, but the whole point is I'm supposed to be hungry for God, and instead of God being the one who satisfied me, it was the Nutty Professor, right? And initially, I felt really guilty. I felt really bad, but, you know, God is so good, right? Holy Spirit is so good. He was not condemning. He wasn't like, you stupid, you wasted, you taking me for granted. None of that, right? It was just very loving, just a loving reminder. And my guilt initially turned into anticipation and conviction, which was like, you know what? Next time, I can't wait for the hunger pang to come. Because when it comes, I'm going to go to God. I know, profound, right? I'm going to go to God. And so I think a few days later, same thing happened, right? Late at night, fetal position, hunger pang came. And you know, when you're in a good place, it's easy to be romantic and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to spend time with God later. It's going to be so good. But in that moment of weakness, it's actually a pretty tough choice. There was a strong part of me. I was tempted. I was tempted, even though I had this revelation, even though the Holy Spirit ministered to me, I wanted to go back to the mix and have a nutty professor. But I didn't, right? And I think what I did was I did just what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? I mean, whenever you're tempted, the most effective way to fight temptation and the attack of the enemy is scripture, right? And I actually used the exact same scripture. I encourage you to memorize this scripture. You'll probably need it the first week of your fast. And in that fetal position, I basically said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? All to say, I was saying, hey, I'm hungry, but I'm not that hungry for food. I'm more hungry for you, God. What I want for sustenance, what I want to live upon is you. And at that moment, I think my hunger, actually, was something supernatural happened. God came. He ministered to me. My hunger pain went away, and I was so satisfied. I wasn't satisfied just in body. I was satisfied in soul and spirit as well. So that is the first temptation. And so when that comes, right, make sure you make it about God again. Point back to God and use scripture to fight the temptation. The second temptation is the temptation of the soul. Temptation. Each one, I believe, gets progressively harder. In Matthew 4, verse 6, it says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their heads they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And so what is an amazing piece of scripture about God's goodness and how he'll save you and send angels, right? It makes God look amazing, so good. Satan takes that scripture and twists it. And he twists it so that Jesus would become very self-centered and make it all about him. Suddenly it's, oh yeah, if you're the Son of God and God says this, you should expect this. You should expect that he should, and then, you know, the mindset, even as I shared earlier about sharing a prophetic word, it's so easy to make it about yourself, right? Suddenly it's all, oh, will he do it? Should I jump? Should I not? It's all about you, right? And initially, I didn't really relate with this temptation because I'm like, oh, I don't know. If Satan says jump off a cliff, I'd just be like, you know, that's dumb. But when I'm fasting, do I become very self-focused? Do I become self-centered? Even though I'm doing this very spiritual thing, do I become self-centered? For sure, right? When I'm fasting, I feel entitled, I'm grumpy, I'm impatient, and I feel justified to be so because I'm not eating, right? And I'm tired, and even with my wife, right, my wife, she was pregnant a few times. No, two times. Two times. And as a result, so she didn't fast for two times. And then she nursed for another two times. So she's missed four fasts. And during those four fasts, I'm feeling entitled. Like, I'm so tired. I'm so hungry. So I don't spend time with the kids. I'm like, I'm so tired. I just want to sleep. I just want to do my, oh, I don't feel good. I have no energy. It's all about me. Right? It's all about me. And that's what happens, right? When your soul is so dissatisfied, you want to satiate your soul. And the enemy comes and tempts you to make it all about you. But what does Jesus do? He doesn't fall for it. He says, on the other hand, it is written, again, scripture, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Satan was trying to make it about Jesus. He wanted Jesus to be self-centered, but right away, he doesn't fall for it. Hey, it's about God, and I'm not going to test God, right? You don't test someone when you're in a relationship. Husbands and wives, do you test each other? You shouldn't. You shouldn't test each other, right? Because you're already loving each other. You're on the same team, so you don't test each other. So, you know, Jesus says, I'm not going to test the Lord. And the third thing, temptation of spirits. Matthew 4, verse 8 to 9. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. So right now, Satan is like, okay, I'm done with challenging your sonship. So notice he doesn't say if you're the Son of God anymore. He's getting right to business, right? And what is he trying to accomplish? He's trying to get Jesus' allegiance. He's asking for Jesus to worship him. He wants to break the relationship, the spiritual relationship that Jesus has with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and have him align, have his allegiance towards Satan, right? And how does Jesus respond? With scripture, and he says, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Right away, what is it about? It's about God. Every piece of scripture, every response that Jesus has, he points it back at God. And that's what Satan wants, even with us. He wants to break our relationship with Jesus. The last thing he wants for us during this fast, the last thing he wants is for you to connect with the Holy Spirit. That's the last thing he wants. And so we may not, you know, worship Satan and bow down to Satan and call upon Satan's name. But in that moment of weakness that we have, what are you going to turn to? Are you going to turn to media? Are you going to turn to sleep? Are you going to turn to people? Are you going to throw yourself into your work? It's easy, right? Because you're fasting, you're not eating. You can become super efficient because you don't eat anything. So you can get so much work done, right? Skip the praying time. Maybe you get into shopping, right? And yes, you're not worshiping Satan, but Satan has accomplished his job, right? Because you're not turning to Jesus. Your spirit is turning to other things. So even if you do, say you go really hardcore, you do water fast, plus media fast, plus sleeping fast, and many other fasts, right? You can still miss the point. The point is Jesus. In those moments of physical weakness, unbearable listlessness, it's going to be tempting to find instant relief in the things of the world. Or are you going to turn to Jesus? Or are you going to turn to Jesus? So I want to invite Chris. And again, I presume you guys are all down to fast already, okay? And so I felt like during this time, what I wanted to challenge you guys on is what you're going to fast. If you look to Jesus and his fast, it was hard, right? It was not an easy fast at all. And so when you fast, it's going to be hard. And I want to tell you, when you fast, it's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be hard. It's going to be supposed to be so hard that you're not even sure if you can do it. Because if you do a fast right now and you've decided, like, oh yeah, this fast, I'm going to do cheeseburger fast. I'm not going to eat cheeseburgers. I think this is manageable, right? I think I can do it. I mean, I'm using extreme, right? But whatever your fast is, if you think, yeah, I can do it, then where does God come into the picture? We say it needs to be a God-led fast, right? If it's God-led, it requires God to complete. And so right now, if the sensation you're having as you're wrestling with God with what to fast, and the sensation you're feeling is a little bit of fear, you're a little bit scared, and you're not sure if you can do it, that's good, right? That's the whole point. Because when you can't do it, that's when your spirit can respond and call out to Jesus, right? And if we know Jesus, we know he'll come. He'll respond. And so as Chris just plays over us, he's just going to just do some instrumental for a bit. Just go before the Lord. Go before, wrestle with him a little on what you're going to fast, okay? So during this fast, what we need to do is we need to power down our body. We need to power down even our soul, all those things that satisfy us of the world, so that you position your spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit to walk in His power. And I just wanted to do an altar call, open the altar up for those of you, you're about to embark on something that you're not sure you are able to do. You're about to, even for me, it's like, oh, I don't know. Can I do water fast? Can I do a full media fast? Can I do a sleep-in fast and not drink coffee? That's the big one, not drink coffee. Every year I drink coffee and that kind of counterbalances the sleepiness. Can I do it? I don't know. Even for me right now, I don't know. And if you're in that place where you don't know, I want to invite you up to the altar. Even though you don't know, you're willing to take a step of faith and respond. And while you're up here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for the fear of the Lord to be upon you. The fear of the Lord. What is that? The fear of man is you worry too much about what people think. You care too much. Unhealthy, right? What is the fear of the Lord? It's the opposite. You care too much about what God thinks. You want to please Him. Everything revolves around Him, what He wants, about what He desires. And your desire is to obey Him and to radically obey right away, right? Because you want to please Him. And so that's what I'm going to pray for you. And so hopefully that fear that you have from fasting, it will change from fear to anticipation. So let me invite you up. Of your name for the things you have done, oh my. Let's rise to our feet. And just in the spirit of this song, I offer my life. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's dedicate this fast to Him. Let's offer our lives.
I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken.
You deserve my every breath.
You deserve my every breath. For you paid a great cost in giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, and defeated my sin. Open up the gates of heaven and have
Jesus.
Jesus, walk.
Pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the life of Jesus, that he set the example, he modeled to us what was possible, Lord. And we have a high priest, Jesus, who we can empathize with and understand and find sympathy with, Lord, for what we will go through, God. And so, Lord, as we embark on this fast that is scary, that could seem impossible, Lord, let us run to Jesus, for he has experienced the same thing. Let us run to Jesus. And Holy Spirit, in that time of weakness, Lord, we look forward to meeting with you. In that time of weakness where we are at our lowest point, and basically we're choosing to humble ourselves, Lord. Oftentimes, we're humbled by circumstance and we're desperate for you. In this case, Lord, we want to humble ourselves and so that we would feel so desperate so that we could encounter you, Lord. The status quo is not enough. We're dissatisfied with the status quo, Lord. We need more. We want to experience your supernatural resurrection power in our lives that would touch and transform the world, Lord. That is our desire, God. That is our desire. And so even as we're about to start the fast, God, continue to minister to us. Help us who are still unsure of what to fast to decide. And I just felt like this is for any guests who are still seeking, and I was just reminded that this fast is for you too. We've had people who are not believers and they joined us in the fast. Same premise. You weaken your body and your soul. And in that time when you call out to Jesus, he responds. You find out this is more than just a religion. This is more than a way of life. But Jesus is real and he's the real deal. So even for you, maybe you're thinking, oh, this is such a spiritual activity. This is an opportunity for you too. It's the same. We're all desiring the same thing. If you're not a believer, you're here for a reason. You're seeking. You want to find out something. And all of us carry that same desire, which is just to experience God more, to be intimate with him. So now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.